Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Barbara P. and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. Today is Monday, July 22nd, and today we're reading from the Big Book. We're on page 33, the third paragraph, to be gravely affected by, ending with, but try to get them to see it. Just the one paragraph. Today's readers will be Karen W. from Texas. She's reading our 12 steps. Mara H. from New York, 12 Traditions. Judith S.P. will be reading, oh, I'm sorry, yes, Steps, Traditions. Judith S.P. will be reading our text. Rick J., he will be reading our closing. And Penny E. will be backing up the team. So we also have Karen W. doing our newcomer greeter duties at the midway of our meeting, and Karen K. will be hosting our second hour. The reference numbers for yesterday, Sunday's special edition, our anniversary edition, was 21589. Very special edition, 21589. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We're self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. With Fifth Tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. So Karen W. from Texas will be reading our 12 steps this morning. Karen, come on in.
Good morning, everyone. This is Karen W. from Katy, Texas. The 12 steps. One, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thanks for having me do service, and everyone have a great day. And I pass. Thank you.
Great. Thanks so much, Karen W. from Texas. Mara H., would you step up and read our 12 traditions? Mara H. from New York.
Yes. Yes. Good morning. This is Mara H. from New York, and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater for today. The 12 traditions of OA. One, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Three, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop compulsively overeating. Four, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. Five, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. Six, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contribution. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, and film. 12. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all our traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. And I pass. Thank you.
Great. Thanks so much, Mara H. from New York. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we're discussing and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We're reading what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker's should be muted. So today we're going to resume our study in the Big Book on page 33, the third paragraph, to be gravely affected by an ending at the end of that one paragraph, but try to get them to see it. And Judith SP is going to get us started on that. Judith?
Hi, good morning, everybody. My name is Judith SP from Maryland. Thank you all for being here and for your service. Greatly recovered, thank you, God, and for the privilege of reading. To be gravely affected, one does not necessarily have to drink a long time, nor take the quantities some of us have. This is particularly true of women. Potential female alcoholics often turn into the real thing and are gone beyond recall in a few years. Certain drinkers, who would be greatly insulted if called alcoholics, are astonished at their inability to stop. We who are familiar with the symptoms see large numbers of potential alcoholics among young people everywhere, but try and get them to see it. When I read this paragraph, I think for myself, of all the diversity, all the blessings, particularly in yesterday's special edition, hearing from 12 recovered members, each one sharing their experience, strength, and hope on one step and going into depth and breadth. There is such amazing awareness and openness to share. I also know that gravely affected means extremely serious. And as has been discussed often in these pages, this is a potentially fatal disease. And there is no way for anybody, including Judith, myself, to know how deeply affected anyone is by their eating issues. Whether you're 12 years old, whether you're 85 years old, whether you're male, whether you're female, whether you identify as another entity, whatever your skin color, whatever your religion, it doesn't matter. This is a grave disease that if untreated will potentially take people to their fatal end. And I know for myself, there were many times throughout my lifetime that I did not want to accept who Judith was, that she was very troubled, was deep-seated, unhappiness and inability to understand. So I am not here to evaluate. Yes, at times when I see somebody in a situation, I might say to myself, oh, I wish I could go up and share with them. I think they could benefit from Overeaters Anonymous. But this is a program of attraction. And as long as I continue each day to turn to God, to trust in my Maker, and do selfless service through the Big Book, through the 12 steps, through my connection with you, and pausing and praying when need be with God, that is the best way I can share the message. And I hope to God that the doors of OA continue to be open for all types of people, ages, you know, sexes, et cetera, et cetera. But the one and take care of with God's love and grace is Judith. And from there, I can go forward. So I pass, and thank you for letting me read and share.
Thanks so much. Perfect timing, Judith S.P. So now we'll go ahead, and I'll take a list of names of folks who'd like to share their thoughts on this. And although we value your experience, we ask that you do limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So who would like to speak on this paragraph?
Christina J.
Katie G. from Boston.
Okay, Christina, Katie.
Rita R.
Riva.
Rita,
gotcha. Thank you.
Ken W.H.
Gotcha, Ken. Okay. Christina, Katie, Rita R., Ken W.H. Else would like to add their name to that illustrious list?
Lisa C.
Gotcha, Lisa. All right, let's get going. That's a great list. So Christina J., you will be followed by Katie G. Step right up, Christina.
Good morning. Thank you for your service. Good morning, everyone. And I must say also that the meeting yesterday was just beautiful. I cried and so appreciative today to be abstinent and clear and clean because I can see things I never saw before. And this paragraph reminds me that I was gravely affected. I'm 65, and I didn't really get an extreme depth of my inner wounds, and I wasn't able to let them go until I was pushed to an extreme limit of pain within. As many have shared on many meetings, it's not the food. The food is the Band-Aid, and no one could have told me that for years. There's somebody unmuted. No one could have told me that for years. No one could have convinced me. I went on my own journey of convincing myself, unbeknownst to me. The pain of this disease slowly convinced me that I was gravely affected and that I had to do something about it. I just didn't know what. Stuck my toe into OA rooms for years and years, and finally found vision, and I heard the miraculous word recovery. And it took from 2014 until approximately 4 months ago for a deep, deep, deep wound to be lifted. Now, God lifts things, in my opinion, in his own time. I had to learn many things. I had to go to the depths of my own journey with this disease. But I'm telling you that it can be done. And for me, the food was misery. But the deeper misery that nobody could have ever told me was in my soul. And four-step revealed some of that, but the deeper misery is that I was unconnected from this power, unconnected from who I really was, didn't know it, tried to control it with everything in my life for so many years. And I'm so grateful today that I know that I'm gravely affected, and I know that if I don't work this program, I could go back to being one of those people that say over and over, I just don't know why I can't get it. I just don't know why I can't get it. And God bless me and everyone that struggled so long in this, because there's more to be revealed. There's more to learn, and just to keep coming back, doing the work, and slowly but surely things will be revealed and you'll come to the truth of yourself and you'll be willing to let God help you remove that food. And in the beginning, if you don't believe in God, it's just a willingness to move forward in the steps. Thank you for letting me share, and I pass.
Thanks, Christina J. Katie G., you're up, followed by Rita R.
Hi, everyone. I'm Katie G. I'm recovered in Boston. You know, for me, this really means that I can't diagnose other people, right? So if somebody is really fat or somebody's really thin, that doesn't mean that they have this disease. You know, in the beginning, I loved that saying that the disease is in the parking lot doing push-ups. But it's not, right? The main problem of my disease is in my mind, not my body. So just because somebody's overweight, just because somebody's underweight, for me, that doesn't mean that they're a compulsive eater. And also, you know, if you're out there and your doctor says you're a normal body weight, but you can't stop, welcome to Overeaters Anonymous. There are no qualifications for weight. There's no qualifications for length of time that you need to use. I mean, it really doesn't matter. What matters is, do you have that hole in the soul, right? Like, I have a hole in the soul. I felt uncomfortable in my body before I picked up the drink, before I picked up the bite, right? I have alcoholism. I don't have alcoholism. I separate myself from you. I separate myself from God, and I separate myself from other people because I have this huge hole in the soul, and I try and fill it. And thanks be to God, he rescued me almost 3 years ago, right, from exercise bulimia. I was 117 pounds in the rooms, saying that I was abstinent, pushing meal times, eating my meals, but exercising 2.5 hours a day and thinking that that was normal. Right. And I guess, again, like, I don't have to be exercising 2.5 hours a day just to qualify for as an exercise bulimic. But that was my story. And God, thanks be to God, he rescued me and he helped me see I do have a serious condition. I do have a mind. I can't understand. Why could I not stop exercising? Why could I not see that I was completely insane in my mind, that I was borrowing from the future in order to feel comfortable in the present moment? That's a pretty grave illness. And for some reason, God rescued me with the help of other women in this recovery program and said to me, Katie, you're not well. You're not well. Please come with us. Get well. And absolutely, God has entered, excuse me, into my mind and my heart in a way that is indeed miraculous. I put down the food, I put down the bulimia, I put down the scale, I put down the starvation, I did the steps, and thanks be to God, I have a relationship today, and it's a relationship that I have to nurture, because otherwise I'm going to go back, and with that I do pass. Thanks.
Oh, thanks, Katie G. from Massachusetts. Rita R., you're up, followed by Ken W. H. Just barely, Rita. You might want to try and get closer to your phone.
Hi, this is Rita R. Can you hear me?
Much better. Thanks. Go right ahead.
Okay. Sorry about that. Yeah, Reed out from Massachusetts. Don't know exactly what I'm going to say. And I don't know if I can say it any better than the speakers who have already spoken. But I guess I'm choosing to speak to anybody out there who might be doing what I have been doing lately, where I'm working the steps. You know, and I'm just kind of lagging and you know, kind of not stepping it up every day. I've been slipping, not with, you know, well, a little bit with the food. That I just realized that this is such a progressive disease, and that I have the mind of a chronic alcoholic, and that it doesn't, you know, yeah, just kind of want to ditto that the food is just a Band-Aid. I went to a wedding this weekend, and my goodness, I had to write, you know, 2 hours worth of like 5 resentments yesterday. I was so scared, so lost, needed God so badly, and just felt so at risk and like the gravely affected. Like I could see myself, if I didn't have this program, kind of heading towards like, you know, chronic suicidality that I had when I was in my 20s. And, you know, I guess I just want to thank you all for being here. And yeah, I'll pass with that. Thank you.
Oh, thanks, Rita R., for your share. Ken W.H., you're up, and you'll be followed by Lisa C.
Thank you. This is Ken W.H., recovered in North Carolina. Excuse me. Yeah, again, a lot has already been said, and I don't have to reiterate. The word gravely always strikes me. It has the word grave in it. It means you're going to die, Ken. If you keep doing what you're doing. I have the allergy of the body and the obsession of the mind. That's the bottom line for me. That's what I needed to know to get past my ridiculous thinking and my ridiculous rationalization. I lost my dad when he was only 50 to serious obstructive heart disease, and overweight, cholesterol off the scale, I was killing myself. And but still, food was my all my attention was on food, and that's the obsession of the mind part. And when I would pick up certain foods, I was a goner. There's no way to stop. It had to come from outside of myself, and it is a soul. Ultimately, my soul was dying, and there's probably nothing worse than that feeling of losing my soul, losing my sense of self, losing vitality and all that thing. And it's all there, and it doesn't matter how much I ate, when I ate, where I ate, it makes no difference at all. If food affected all of my life, and that's probably a clear sign as well. But I'm grateful to be here, and yesterday's meeting was off the scale. Really good. Thank you so much. Glad to be here, and I pass.
Oh, thanks so much, Ken. H. And so Lisa C. will be up. Let me just remind everybody where we are, and after Lisa, we'll be taking another list of names. So we're on page 33, the third paragraph, starting with to be gravely affected by, and ending with, but try to get them to see it. So Lisa, go ahead right up.
Hi, good morning. This is Lisa C. I'm a recovered compulsive reader from New Jersey. Not really sure what I'm going to say. I mean, I usually don't really know, but I let God lead and give me like that sense that I have something meaningful to share on a passage. And today I just hit star one because for a few reasons. And so like, how can I tell the truth today? Well, I am in the thick of very intense grieving and sorrow over the loss of my mom less than 2 months ago. And I'm so grateful to be recovered. When my father passed away 30 years ago, I was 12 years old, and I spent the next 10 years of my life in the throes of this disease in one way or another, and in the throes of various addictions to everything imaginable, really. Food being really the one that affected me most gravely. And really, I think that when I look at this paragraph, it's just such a great reminder that I don't have to go further and deeper down into the despair of the disease, right? One does not necessarily have to drink a long time nor take the quantity some of us have, right? Like, again, it's just the undercurrent of this book, which is one of inclusion and acceptance of everybody, no matter where they are, because there are thousands of ways that my disease could have been worse, could be worse. And, you know, I don't feel like my recovery is hanging on by a thread, even though I'm mourning. And I don't know that the big book gives me as much information specifically about mourning and grieving that I'm seeking. And I also know that I have a tendency to make program and sometimes this meeting my higher power. I don't want to admit it because I feel so spiritually tuned in when I'm here with all of you and listening to you. But I've been in a really quiet place with God, really seeking my higher power. And it's been beautiful. It's been strengthening and reminding me that the reliance has to be on God 100%. And so I guess if I could share any last thought just about hope, if you are new, if you are struggling, get right with God. See to it that your own house is in order, right? And keep the channel open. Keep it flowing. And don't pick up no matter what. All kinds of things will come to the surface if we're connected. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thanks, Lisa C. So let's see. We will go ahead and take another list of names. Again, page 33, third paragraph, to be gravely affected by reading that one paragraph. And if you have shared in the last 3 days, we ask you just to hold back so that others might share their experience too. So who else would like to share?
I have a question. You never say where you're from. Could you tell me where you're from so I could find you on the list?
Oh, sure. Barbara P. from Georgia. Georgia girl.
Oh,
so who else? Who else would like to share? Yeah, thanks for asking. Appreciate that. Feel free to call.
Renee H., Pennsylvania.
Rick J. Gotcha. I got Renee H. Rick J., was that you?
Yes, thanks.
Gotcha. Renee, I got Rick.
Lynn Renee from Montreal.
Lynn Renee.
Patrick from Tennessee.
Dr. Patrick. All right, let's get running with those four. So are we Renee H., Rick J., Lynn Renee, and Patrick? So Renee H., go right ahead. 3 minutes.
Hi, everybody. This is Renee H. from Pennsylvania, a compulsive overeater in recovery. So I think God will be showing me soon why this matters, but the reading and your shares have made me realize that I didn't become a compulsive eater when I thought I did. Whenever I've shared, during my time in OA, I've shared, thinking that I started around fourth grade because I can remember binges in fourth grade. And I can remember, binges all throughout my life or just overeating. But I wasn't there yet. I think it was just, whatever you would call it, I wasn't there yet. Almost like that genetic predisposition showing itself, but it wasn't until the break that the real compulsive overeater came out. And it was 15 years ago when my son was diagnosed with autism. There was a shift. there was a shift in me, a shift in worry, and that's when I just remember the food coming out in an entirely different way. And it's interesting because my daughter, she's 16, and God always speaks through her, always to show me my character defects. And a few months ago, she was talking to me about how negative I am, and I was blown away. I thought, I'm not negative, maybe here and there, but I'm not negative. But I just sat there and listened because I'm starting to try to not be defensive and listened. And I came home and I asked my husband, hey, you know, my daughter thinks I'm negative. And he's just quiet. And he said, do you want an honest answer? And I thought, oh, my gosh. He said, yeah, something happened to you around 15 years ago. And I thought, oh, my gosh. Oh, my gosh, you know, a diagnosis and extreme fear took over me. And then my life became just a constant worry, 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 and also just in the depths of compulsive overeating. So, I don't know if I have much more to say than that other than coming to vision just a couple of months ago just has sparked something within me, the shares and just a little bit of big book reading each day. And I'm looking forward to the new discovery of really learning when I really fell into this disease. And I'm really hoping, right in the middle of doing my fourth step. It makes sense, right? I'm really hoping that I will be able to discover, more things about myself that will help me get to the place where I can call myself recovered. So thanks so much for letting me share.
Thanks to Renee H. from Pennsylvania. Rick J., you're up from North Carolina, and you'll be followed by Lynn Renee.
Hey, thanks so much for your service, Barbara. forgive my voice. I've been struggling with this for a while now. Rick J., I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in Cary, North Carolina. And, that gravely affected we don't have to eat compulsively or restrict compulsively for a long time, nor take the quantities some of us have. And with my daughter, I've witnessed this, and certainly I have my own addictions, my own isms that I am working the steps over on a daily basis. And my history itself, went back. Started when I was six, and I didn't mean that I was, full blown, at 6 years old. But what happened for me though is that, by discovering, that food, either the quantities of food that I ate, the overeating, the actual ritual of eating, or certain ingredients that just triggered an extreme reaction, did something for me that I couldn't do for myself. It changed the way I felt. It let my emotions slip into neutral, if nothing else. And I was not consumed in fear. And, that progressive part of the illness started for me then. And it just kept continuing. And until I got help and I found a relationship with my higher power and live in the steps on a daily basis. I could not find any relief. And now I can. And I'm so grateful for that. And watching my daughter, in her teens, she was in three separate two-month residency treatment centers and in psychiatric hospitals for a period of a total of about 3 weeks. So, when I see that this devastating effect on her, we see it here in our home. But if she were just out there, you would not know it. Just like when people saw me as a child, they did not know what was going on with me. It's just that this disease is permanent, progressive, fatal. And we can start much younger. It's much more readily available. easier to hide, of course, until, you know, physical problems start presenting themselves. But it's just this hidden disease that cunning, baffling, powerful, extremely patient, insidious, that it can start at a very early age. And that's my story. I started at a very early age. And then by the time that I realized that I really needed help, I was beyond human aid and I'd been devastated. But with that, I pass.
Thanks, Rick J. from North Carolina. Lynn Renee, you're up and you'll be followed by Patrick from Tennessee. And then we should be able to get a new list of names after that.
Great. Thank you so much. Lynn Renee, overeater from Montreal, Canada. First off, I just want to let everybody know how I'm grateful for all the calls I've received on Monday, last Monday, I mean, because it's been a rocky road since a year. And I couldn't get back on the wagon. And it's been 1 week that I finally got peace of mind. And I'm so grateful. I'm so, so grateful. Because I do believe it's a mind thing. And it's triggered for me by fear that turns into being really mad at everybody and all the trees and all the birds. Like I'm mad about everything and anything and at anything. And I see that the disease, like, way, way back, I kind of liked it because I didn't know it was a disease, first of all. But I liked it because it made me do things. I was such a overstriver, and I would get, like, an idea in my head, and I would go and do it. And, wow, what a feeling of a rush. It was so cool. The only thing is that, in the circus, there's these women that turn plates on a stick. Well, at one point, I was like one of those, but I have like 5,000 little plates on a stick, and I couldn't get to all of them before them all falling. And after that, I'm like, what the hell is your problem, Lynn? Just make those things turn. And the shame came in. And that's why I started, for me anyway, started overeating, overdoing, overworking, over everything, just to calm myself. It's strange, eh? Doing things to hurt myself, to calm myself. That is a strange disease. And that's why I do believe that the solution is spiritual, because I need to calm myself. For me not to feel as much everything, not anger, not happiness, just be normal in the situation. And you really helped me for the past 10 years to learn how to live with a higher power. Because when I'm on the line, I know we're all together. But at 8:01, I feel I'm alone again. So I can't feel alone. And I need to be with my higher power most of the day. So thank you so much. Have a great day, everyone.
Thanks, Lynn Renee from Montreal. And Patrick, you're up from Tennessee.
Good morning, everybody. This is Patrick, compulsive eater in recovery today. I wanted to share, speak up, because I've been listening kind of in the shadows here for a while, and I'm grateful to be here, grateful for you all. Just a little bit, my experience is when I was 8, my parents got divorced, separated, and by the time I was 10 or 11, I had to go to a wake doctor. So I remember that was probably the first time I got into the food. I'm now 60, and I've done that up and down all my life. Like, I'm the type of guy who has pants, like, from 32 to 40s in my closet, that kind of stuff. And I'm really grateful to be here. I've been coming to this meeting now about 8 months or so, and worked with a sponsor here. And I'm so grateful for the freedom from the compulsion of the disease that I've had. When it comes to others, like I'm in New Jersey caregiving my mother, and so I witness the compulsion in her, and I walk here every morning, listen to the meeting, and I've been wanting to sit with her and let her listen to the meeting, you know, and I know it's about attraction, not promotion, and I have to, you know, as my sponsor would say, surrender, 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 and then the other thing is for me is my other sponsor is let live and live, you know, and because I have a lot, sometimes I'll have my own judgment or my own internal, oh, they could use this program kind of thoughts, and I just have to let go, I spot it, I got it, or it actually is a place of, I can be a place of reflection for myself. I'm so grateful for the freedom today from the compulsive and the insanity of this disease. I'm also in AA. I got sober when I was 25, and I'm out now working kind of at a distance with someone who is 25 trying to get sober, and it's a great place to, a reminder for me, but he hasn't hit a bottom like when I hit a bottom when I was 25, so it takes, everybody's on their own path, and I'm here for him, and if he ever wants to call or if he ever wants to go to a meeting, I've taken to him a couple of meetings, but that's all I can do, you know, and he has to really want it. So, I think that's all I'll say. I'm really grateful to be here, and thank you for everybody. Thank you.
Oh, thanks so much. Patrick from Tennessee. So we have time probably for another four folks or so. We are on page 33, reading the third paragraph only, to be gravely affected, and ending with, but try to get them to see it. So who else would like to share?
Loretta H.
That's
Kim A.
Jen?
Kim.
Oh, Kim?
Kim, thanks.
Toby.
Gotcha, Kim. Toby, gotcha, Toby. We should have room for one more if you want to add your name.
Julie M.
Okay, Julie, got you. So I've got Loretta, Kim A, Toby W, Julie M. Loretta H, you're up.
Thank you, Barbara. And I apologize. Last week I called you Lisa, and I also
heard
a voice in the background. So I am trying to be very vigilant of my service. Thank you all for saving my life along with my precious God. You are saving my life. Loretta H., recovered in OA. Such gratitude. But the grave illness, it didn't put me in the grave. But I didn't come into the rooms until I was 54. Now I'm 77. But my disease started at 4. I'm more anorexic than I am a compulsive overeater. And the issue has been my tissues for a very, very long time. But today, instead of using, especially for me, the anorexia is a very high note, I get to use the steps. And right now I'm going through another four-step because a sponsee, I usually go through the step work with them, and there's always something that I've said in my 11 or 10 step that keeps reoccurring. So I just keep going through it again. And it's such a gift because with that, I have the ability to look at the patterns and why I do this stuff and claim it, not shame, not blame, not complain, but claim it and then move on to why I'm blocked with God. And the process is the precious, precious present. And I just hope that everybody sees that it's rewarding and revealing and not scary. It's just not. I have more fear when I'm not working the steps than I ever do when I'm working the steps. So I love the change. I love the connection with God. It's not about perfection. It's about the connection and direction of His will. And everything in this book will help you get to a better, will get to a better place in your life. And it says, we will be amazed before we are going to know freedom and a new happiness. So start doing that work, launch into it. And for the newcomer, please, please, coming back, because you're saving my life. And with that, I pass.
Great. Thanks, Loretta. Loretta H. And Kim A., you're up, and you'll be followed by Toby W. Kim? Kim A.
Hi, sorry, it's Kim A. from New York City. Can you hear me?
I can.
Okay. So, this paragraph is really describing what happens when we cross over that line that makes us compulsive eaters, because we learn that there are hard eaters and, you know, there are moderate eaters, there are hard eaters, and, you know, those are people that don't really need a 12-step program. They're at the point where they can still use those human aid solutions. But once we cross over that line, you know, they're saying potential, well, they're talking about females, but often turn into the real thing and are gone beyond recall in a few years. And so I remember, like, I don't know exactly where that line was for me, but I remember when I first came into OA and I was able to plan out my food and stick to my food, and I was able to, you know, I guess you could say successfully use these strategies to get and stay abstinent. And somewhere along the line, I lost the ability to do that. I've shared many times that my first 18 years in OA, I was a chronic relapser. And I saw that as time went on, it was harder and harder for me to find the willingness to even, like, follow my food plan for breakfast. And eventually, you know, I got to that. I could not even get abstinent. And that's where that human aid solution of a food plan failed me. And that's when, you know, at a point I left OA because I was spinning my wheels. I knew that this wasn't about food, but the messages that I had heard in OA for so long were that I had to follow a food plan. That's what I had to do. And now, after having come back after, you know, a gap, I left and I came back, and me, food plans didn't work for us. And I realized, looking back, if I was able to follow a food plan, then I could have stuck to, you know, all of the diets in the world. So I work my steps. I get down to those causes and conditions, like the big book talks about, through my step four. My sponsor helped me see the truth in my thinking, step five. And then I continually live in that space by sending step 10 throughout the day as I need to, looking at my thinking, because it's my thinking that leads me to that food. So even though, you know, in a way it seems like a bad thing that I crossed over that line and became a chronic compulsive eater, thank God for that. And I never understood people who were like, thank God, you know, I'm a grateful compulsive eater. Like, I never got that. I was like, what the F is wrong with these people that they're grateful to be a compulsive eater? But I now get that if I hadn't crossed over that line, there would be no reason for me to look at my thinking and see the truth and start to kind of clear away all of that
time
wreckage. Thanks. All of that wreckage that blocked me from a higher power. Thanks for letting me share. This is Kim A. in New York City.
Great. Thanks, Kim A. in New York. And Toby W., you're up. You'll be followed by Julie M.
Good morning. This is Toby W. from Boston. And it must have been God that had me press star one and say my name. Thank you, Barbara, for your service and all those before me who have shared. A week and a half ago, I came back to where I live with assisted living after being in rehab for 3 weeks and the hospital for a week. And I was a week away from my 1-year anniversary. And I ended up picking up because I'm feeling sorry for myself. I'm having trouble walking. And I see my life as being just so dependent on other people. And it's so hard for me to accept where I am. And I am in relapse. And I haven't asked God for help because I'm angry at God. And I'm avoiding my sponsor. And I never thought I would be back here again in this place. And I just wanted to, I guess I didn't want to do this. And maybe this is God, I don't know, that got me to share out loud what is really going on with me that I've been hiding behind and pretending. And when people ask me, how are you doing? I always say, I'm great. I'm great. And I'm not effing great at all. Or I say, I'm fine. And fine means F up and insecure and neurotic and emotional. And I don't know, I don't think I have anything else to say other than if anybody's willing to pray for me, I'll accept all prayers. Thank you. I pass.
Thanks. Thanks, Toby W. from Boston, Massachusetts. And Toby, I think you're T-A-U-B-E. I'm imagining you'll get some calls today. Julie M., you are up for three, and yeah, I think you'll be taking us out.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Julie M. from upstate New York. Moderator, thank you so much for a wonderful meeting and everyone that spoke this morning. It's been an incredible meeting, like it is for me every morning. It's been about 17 months that I've been coming to a vision for you. And I've recovered one day at a time through God's grace and through the fellowship in vision. And for me, I also had that imaginary line and I crossed that line. And I always would try to figure out what happened this time, you know, and, you know, the what or the why is because I have a disease that wants me dead. And today, I really don't want to die. I just want to live in recovery, and I want to be able to be of service and through this fellowship that so many people need this program. But I have learned that this program is for people that want it. And, you know, I wanted this program. I want this program each day. And, you know, I wake up with untreated foodisms, and I have to start with my 11th step no matter what each morning. I don't leave home without it. And that particular step really grounds me to be able to move forward, to have conversations with sponsees, to work the steps, to write my food plan, to send it to my sponsor, and everything else in between, to watch my character defects. And it's just a program that has really helped me see myself the way God wants me to see myself, and which is a child, his child, to be able to serve others and continue to work this program just for today. You know, my character defects blow up, and I have to be able to be willing to look at myself each day and to say, what's going on, you know, maybe use the writing tool, maybe call somebody. Whatever it is that I may need to do, I work on my program each day. And yes, I also have been in this room, in these rooms for 18 years. And even when it was so bad, I just kept coming back. And when I did come back, I was on my knees once more begging God, please help me. And he did. So with that, everyone, I'd like to wish everyone a beautiful day. And thank you so much for allowing me to share on this beautiful meeting. Bye.
Well, thanks so much, Julie M., and thanks to everyone who shared and joined us today. Please join us for a second unrecorded hour of study immediately following our closing. Let me give you the share ID for today. Bear with me one sec, and I'll give you that. Today's ID is 21590, so that's for today's meeting. And keep in mind, the Sunday edition, if you want to go back and listen, is 21589. 21589 for yesterday's. So now let's close with a reading from the Big Book on page 164, and that will be followed by the Serenity Prayer. I'll go ahead and ask Rick J. to read our closing this morning, A Vision for You, and starting with, our book is meant to be suggestive only, through Keep You Until Then.
Rick J. here, recovered in North Carolina. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask Him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with Him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. That is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to Him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until...